Father, now we give you thanks for just your faithfulness and your loving kindness towards us. Thank you for watching over us always. Thank you, Lord God, that because of what you've done, we know who we are. And we can be here today, Father, just to grow in you. So thank you now for these next few moments that we have now to just embark into your word. We look forward to it. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen, praise God. Now, for my online community, I want to ask you to do something. Go ahead, real quick, share on whatever platform that you're on. Just go ahead and share and say, hey, look, you need to catch this. Share it with a friend. Share it, you know, on Facebook. Share it, you know, from YouTube. Share it, you know, from our website. So you need to get connected, praise God. Get in on this as we're starting off something, you know, new right now that I believe is going to be a tremendous blessing for all of us if we can grab hold to it, praise God. Amen. And again, let me say this too. Don't forget about small groups. Listen, real life change is always going to happen in the context of relationships. As you are intentional to be in relationships, watch this, that are helping you move closer to God. If you have a lot of relationships that are pulling you from God, you need to really evaluate that. And let me encourage you, get a hold of some relationships that are pushing you towards God. If you have those that are trying to pull you from God, then you can do one or two things. A lot of times people are just like, well, I'm going to cut that off. Well, you can, or you can say, you know what? For those of you that's been trying to pull me away from God, tell you what, why don't y'all come with me to God? Amen. As a matter of fact, y'all going to be my small group. Huh? Right after you leave the club, come on. Yes, at 6 a.m, we'll have our small group then. Whatever the case, you know, may be, whatever will work for you. And then what we do is that we provide the spiritual component for you. So we provide a video with a specific, you know, emphasis from God's word each week. So you can locate that. And matter of fact, it'll go up, you know, this afternoon. It's on my YouTube channel, Fresh Air for Life with Anthony D. Crawford. You go there and you'll be able to use that for your small group. And small group leaders, I would always encourage you to make sure that you review it first before you start your group. It will be a tremendous blessing and help your group go even deeper in Jesus' name. All right. So we're talking about here today, A Million Little Choices. This is the series. Our lives are the product of a million little choices. Every choice that we make today creates a reality for us tomorrow. The reality that we are in today is because of choices that we made yesterday. Our decisions create ripples in the oceans of our lives. So today's message, I want to deal with the subject matter, the ripple effect. This is how I want to kind of introduce this. There's really three particular layers I want to get to on this. But before we can get there, I need to introduce things and set things up properly. Ripple effect. Leading us during a time of offering. Was our senior minister, Dr. Theophilus Owusu. Now, he's been around, you know, Impact Church from the beginning. And I can remember, you know, watching him some years ago. He was working, you know, at a law firm, living up in West Palm Beach. And the church down in Hollywood, Florida, and then we actually moved the church down into Miami Gardens, Florida. And he's making the decision twice a week, driving down from West Palm Beach, making sure he's in on services and he's serving and, you know, so forth, just a part of the family and a part of what God is doing. And he's working there at the law firm and doing well, you know, an IT specialist, you know, for them. But then in the process of it, he made a decision. He said, you know what, I'm going back to school to get my doctorate. So I'm going to go back. It's going to require me having to travel, you know, pretty much, I think, about every 6 weeks or so, every 8 weeks or so, to be able to, attend, you know, classes and sessions that he had to do. You know, much of it, I'm sure, you know, was online. And he did that, you know, for some years. And I just watched the decisions that's being made. Well, just prior to, I believe it was, his graduation, it may have been right after the graduation, the law firm, you know, kind of came to him and says, well, you know, we're kind of making some cuts, and so we're going to have to eliminate, you know, your position. He wasn't alarmed with fear. not because of his degree, but because of his covenant with God. Amen. And then he started, you know, the process of, you know, applying to some particular colleges to say, hey, you know what, I'd be a great instructor, professor for you. And sure enough, various ones began to pull him in. Matter of fact, you know, just in talking to him not that long ago, you know, there's probably more demand, you know, for him than, you know, what he could even fulfill right now. And just watch how, you know, as a result, watch this, of just little decisions, how it can create a great future. You know, here now, you know, he and his lovely wife, Kamika, you know, Wusu, they've been married now, let's see, going on 4 years this year, praise God. Five? Dear God, it's a nickel already? Amen, praise God. But again, all of that starts to come to pass because of just little decisions that are made. See, watch this. If he doesn't make the decision to go back to school, then when that particular downturn happened on his job, it could have left him in a place of panic. But he knew he was already prepared for the future. See, that's decisions that you have to make right here, right now. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 through 10 says this. From the Message translation, says this, don't be misled. No one makes a fool of God. What a person plants, he will harvest. Nobody's making a fool of God. In other words, how we've heard it read from King James Version, you know, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Whatsoever he or she plants, you are going to harvest. God says that's the system. It's how it's set up. Then it says the person who plants selfishness, ignoring the needs of others, ignoring God, harvests a crop of weeds. Come on, nobody wants that. Nobody wants a crop of weeds. Matter of fact, here, just a moment of transparency. I got a crop of weeds right now going on in some of my front lawn. I sprayed something on my lawn trying to kill the weeds. I sprayed the wrong stuff and it killed the grass. So now the weeds are like, we still here. And we got some friends now. I actually have to go through the process now, killing pretty much everything and just putting some new sod down, you know, to, you know, kind of correct everything, praise God. That's what happens, though, when we sow towards the wrong thing. Watch this, when we spray the wrong things in our lives. There comes now this existence of weeds. Here it is now. I was intending to try to kill the bad stuff, but what I applied actually killed the good. And unfortunately, if we don't watch it, we're not real careful, the decisions that we make, they work for us, watch this, in a good sense, but they also work for us in a horrible sense as well if we make poor decisions. The rest of this passage goes on to say, all he'll have to show for his life is weeds. But the one who plants in response to God, come on, someone say response to God. In other words, God says, when I say something, I expect a response from you. I don't expect for you just to sit there. I don't expect for you just to kind of mull it over. God says, I'm expecting for you to respond. God says, forgive. God says, I'm expecting to respond with what's this? Forgiveness. It says, those who respond to God, letting God's spirit do the growth work in him, harvest a crop of real life, eternal life. And then, you know, verse 9 goes in. So let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued in doing good. Understand the connection. It's all connected with sowing and reaping. You know, planting and harvesting. He says, don't grow weary in the doing good, or let me put it in these terms. Don't grow weary in making the good decisions, the decisions that honor God. Don't grow weary in that. Because those decisions and those choices begin to create for you the future that you desire and that Almighty God has in store for you. I made a, you know, decision when I was a single, you know, minister, you know, of the gospel. And actually, I made the decision before then that, you know, sex before marriage was out of the question. Can I get a show enough in the house? Why? Because God said something. So I had to respond. So I responded, said, well, no, that's not going to be the case. And therefore, that choice and that decision began to direct me, you know, in my life. It actually helped me to make a wise decision when it came to my wife. There were some individuals, you know, prior, you know, to my wife, you know, Rhonda, you know, that, you know, I was, you know, seeing or dating or whatever the case, and they didn't hold that particular stance. They were just like, hey, it's fair game. Come on, I'm talking about I went to church every week. Come on, I'm talking about singing and shouting, running in the church, but ready to have sex at the drop of a hat. Can we talk a little bit? A million little choices. Now, I remember one particular case, you know, one young lady just looked at me, you know, pretty, you know, bluntly. It was like, well, that's good for you. That ain't good for me. I said, I understand. Relationship was over that moment. And she didn't understand. What's wrong with you? Why are you so serious about this? What are you talking about? This is life with God. When God speaks, he expects for us to respond. It's not up to us just to decide, well, this is what makes me feel happy, so that's what I'm going to do. That's not living life with God. So let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued doing good. At the right time, we will harvest a good crop if we don't give up or quit. Come on now, you got to have some stick-to-itiveness. You got to have something on the inside of you that when you get knocked down, you just get back up, praise God. Come on, don't lay there and cry about it. You know, I was watching, you know, yesterday, I like to watch this movie periodically. I like to watch Glory. I think Morgan Freeman, Denzel Washington, they do a tremendous job in it, you know, and it just, the movie is just great. And if you remember the one particular character, you know, that Denzel had named Snowflake, and he kind of, you know, had a rough time there, you know, going through the basic training and the like. And then one time, you know, their exercise and so forth, and he just collapses. And the drill sergeant comes over like, get up, get up, get up. What's wrong with you? And he's just laying, you know, out. Listen, things may get a little difficult sometimes, but you got to learn how to get yourself back up. Come on, this is what we talked about again on last week. You got to learn how to turn that pain into some gain. Yeah, it may be hurting, praise God, but you're not going to get any gain laying there on your face crying. Every time we get the chance, it says right now, therefore, every time we get the chance, let us work for the benefit of all, starting with the people closest to us in the community of faith. So question, what will be the accumulation of your decisions? What will you produce? What chain of events are you going to set into motion today because of decisions you make today? Because every decision, every one of them, is setting things in motion. And let me say this. And many times, the reason why individuals miss the dream is because of the decision-making along the process. The decisions that they make wind up doing what we saw in the Word of God. They're sowing more towards their self and their selfishness, and it winds up producing a crop of weeds. In 1993, I was coming off of one of the worst experiences of my life. I'll share that at another time. And in that process, Spirit of God dealt with me about studying more about who he was. So I just came to it, just, you know, praying to God and talking to God, that I wanted to specifically learn Koine Greek. That's what the New Testament is written in, not modern day Greek, but Koine, and Hebrew. I said, you know what, I want to understand, you know, the original languages so I can understand what God is saying clearer. So from that heart, I made a decision that I would go to seminary. I remember I applied to the seminary while I was in this particular, you know, arrangement. They kind of looked at me a little funny. As soon as I had an opportunity, I remember July 2nd, 1993, I went there for an interview. And they interviewed me. They saw that I was serious and so forth. I think maybe a week later, I got an acceptance, you know, letter. And then that fall, September, I started, you know, courses on that. Well, I did that for a year, and while I am doing that, I'm also, you know, recognizing that, you know, I need to be connected with a church, with a family of believers. I need to be connected. So I'm just kind of actively looking and trying to determine where the Spirit of God, you know, wanted me to be and where he wanted me to go. And the Spirit of God led me to a place called Word of Faith, you know, Christian Center. You know, Pastor Keith A. Butler, you know, at the time. And man, I got there, things, you know, just clicked like, yep, I'm home. Made a decision to be there. And in that decision-making process, another choice came up about pausing the seminary part after I did a year and picking up, you know, and going through their school of ministry program, which is a 2-year program. So I did that. I started that process. Learned a lot in that first year. And then the second year, this little fine supernatural woman walked in. I said, well, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, anybody know what I'm talking about when you see something that you like? Can we talk, praise God? And I said, huh. But at the time, I was committed to stay focused on why I was in school, not just simply trying to get a hookup. So I still noticed what I noticed. Couldn't help that. From graduating, that decision to then start seminary, go to school of ministry, then led me to leave Michigan, move down to Jacksonville, Florida. I moved down to Jacksonville, Florida, and I'm just doing what, you know, Spirit of God, you know, told me to do. But I keep remembering. I remember this young lady. Yeah. Long story short, that young lady was Rhonda Thompson. She's Rhonda Crawford now. I like Crawford. And as a result of that decision, watch this, to go to seminary, go to that church, go to the school there, leave and go, you know, come down to Florida, wind up creating the framework that brought me together with this wonderful woman. To the point now we have 4 awesome kids. Listen, I wouldn't have any other way. If it's not for the decisions, it's a trail of them. It's a million of them. And when we learn how to make them in a way that is always honoring God, it produces for us a future that we absolutely will find amazing. Because it's what Almighty God wants for us. Let me give you this statement. Wisdom is something that God desires for all of us to abound in. So God wants us all to abound in wisdom. You know, a lot of times it's not necessarily about, you know, doing what's right and doing what's wrong. It really comes down to what's the wise thing to do. The wise thing from the heart of God. I'm not talking about, you know, wisdom that separates itself from God. I'm talking about the wisdom that comes from God. What's the wise thing to do? In Proverbs chapter 2, verse 11 and 12 says this. Wise choices will watch over you. Understanding will keep you safe. Wisdom will save you from evil people, from those whose words are twisted. Wise choices, listen, they'll watch over you. Understanding will keep you safe. Wisdom will keep you safe from people that's trying to do ill intent towards you. Here's the thing that you and I have to make sure. Make sure you own your choices. Own your choices. Others cannot make the choice for you. Own your choices. Say, wait a minute. You know, let's do this, that, and the other. Let me back up. And I'll let you know from what I believe God has called me to do. Own your choices. Because wisdom, you know, chooses. Well, the wise choices will always watch over you and protect you. Make sure you own your choices. In Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 2. Real simple verse. Just says this. Wise thinking leads to right living. Stupid thinking leads to wrong living. That's pretty simple. Wise thinking, wise choices lead to right living. Stupid thinking, ignorant thinking leads to wrong living. Obviously, wrong choices. Now, here is the million-dollar question that encompasses this whole series. This is what I'm endeavoring to present to you to answer for all of us so that we can indeed be the ones who are always making a million little choices that are honoring God. And here it is. How do we go about making little choices today that create the big realities God has destined for our lives tomorrow? That's the whole thing that's driving this series right here. How do we go about making little choices today? Someone say today. That's going to create the big realities God has destined for our lives tomorrow. We all want the bigness. We all want to enjoy it. Come on, we started businesses and we do investments and the like because we want the bigness. Well, how do I make the little choices right now today? That's going to help to create that. And I submit this answer to you. It's not necessarily what most people would think, but stay with me on these next few weeks and I'm going to lay it out for you. In order to do that, we have to learn to live a life that is true to God, true to others, and true to yourself. If you and I can be effective in living a life that is true to God, true to others, and true to ourselves, it will put us in the best and most healthy position to produce the future that we all desire. In Acts chapter 24, I want you to see what the Apostle Paul says. He says, therefore, I always exercise and discipline myself. Now, how often does he do this? It says always. It says always. You always have to exercise and discipline yourself. Listen, the moment you don't discipline yourself, your body will do some crazy stuff. The moment you don't put some restraint there, come on, that your body will get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and eat that cake. Now, you know what I know, you don't have any business eating that cake at 3 o'clock in the morning. But if you don't exercise yourself always and apply discipline, your body now will cause you to make choices that's going to create a future of weeds for your life. Therefore, I always exercise and discipline myself. Watch this, mortifying my body, deadening my carnal affections, bodily appetites, and worldly desires, endeavoring in all respects to have a clear, unshaken, blameless conscience, void of offense toward God and toward men. And hone in on the latter part of that. Paul says, I did this because I wanted to have a clear, unshaken, blameless conscience. Void of offense toward God and void of offense toward men. A blameless, clear conscience. A clear conscience is a wonderful thing to have. You know, we have four, children, and it's funny when something goes wrong, something happened, may show up in the house and be like, well, who broke such and such? It's guaranteed that one or two are going to step up and say, I didn't do it. I ain't had nothing to do with that, Dad. And you can see the look on their face like, I have a clear conscience. I ain't got nothing to do with it. I am guilt-free. That's a good place to be. This is what Paul was talking about. He was endeavoring to live before God and men in a place of a clear conscience. I didn't do it. I had nothing to do with that. All I did, Paul's perspective, is bring you the gospel. A clear conscience. It's a great thing to have. So listen, in that place of a clear conscience, where we are true to God, true to others, and true to ourselves, we are in the best position to make the best choices that will give us the best future. Can you hear what I'm saying here? In that place of this clear conscience. And this clear conscience is where we arrive to it by being true to God, true to others, and true to ourselves. This now puts us in the best position to now be able to make the best choices and therefore give us the best future. But here's the issue that religion has messed us up on. Religion has messed us up to think that, well, in order to have that clear conscience means you have to live an error-free life. And here's the reality. None of us have done that. And as a matter of fact, it's not even what God expects. God didn't expect an error-free life. God expects for you to present to him a surrendered life. Yeah. So it's not necessarily what our natural inclination would tell us in terms of having this clear conscience. We don't achieve a clear conscience or clear confidence through being error-free in our lives, but rather it is a result of embracing what God has done for us despite what we've done or despite what we do. You got to learn how to embrace it. You got to learn how to embrace it. So many individuals are torn and just broken because they can never fully forgive themselves for their past. And I see individuals today, praise God, who had a passion for God. I mean, running hard after God. And then they maybe kind of got maybe tripped up into a relationship and got involved sexually and so forth and started doing some other things. And so then, you know, you get out there like that and now you feel bad and ashamed to go back to what you left. Now you feel bad like, I can't go back to the church now. You know, people have seen my social media posts. They know what I'm out here doing. And so what? We don't care. Come on back to God. Huh, come on back to God, praise God. That's God's heart for you. But I get it though. So many individuals now are stuck in a dysfunctional, rotting weed of a present. All because they can't really let go of what happened in the past. And watch this, and that one decision they've now allowed to accumulate and snowball and have gotten them stuck into this whole lifestyle they really don't enjoy. Don't be fooled by that social media post. They're not happy with it. They're trying to make you feel like they're happy with it. They're trying to see, no. I already know. I know the real you. Come on now. I know the Spirit of God that's still right there on the inside. That's gnawing at you every day saying, now, come on back. And you can make your way back. Absolutely. Make a choice to forgive yourself. And just come on back to God. Just come on back to God. How are people going to talk about me? They're talking about you now. That's what people do, unfortunately. It's what people wind up doing. So you can't be moved by that. Make the decision to honor God. Yeah. So here, in Romans chapter 8, this is where we'll conclude today. Verse 1 and 2. Therefore, there is now no condemnation, no adjudging guilty of wrong for those who are in Christ Jesus. Oh, my goodness. Who live and walk not after the dictates of the flesh, but after the dictates of the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, the law of our new being, has freed me from the law of sin and death. Man, I mean, I've read this scripture for years and years and years and years. And it's not until really a few years ago, well, maybe several years ago now, where the light came on. It's like, son, you've been reading it, but you watch this. You're not responding. You're not responding to it. You're reading it. You're not responding. He says, son, there is now no condemnation, no adjudging guilty for those who are wrong, who are in Christ Jesus. He says, God, in other words, watch this. God says, when you are in Jesus, I find no fault in you. Now, the problem that many of us have is that we are experts in finding faults with ourselves. And somebody will say, well, you know what, this is what God has in store for you. And our response will be, yeah, but. See, because we want to find wrong in ourselves. But God says, when you put yourself into Jesus, I find no fault in you. I find no wrong in you. And listen, until you learn how to come to a place where you live life in that revelation, you will never, ever have a consistent, clear conscience. You got to come to a place to recognize, I am who I am because what God has done. That's it. It's not about whether I can do, you know, most right today or I did most wrong today. No. It's because of this relationship that I have with Almighty God. There's no judging guilty of wrong when we are in Christ Jesus. Listen. This is one of the most magnificent benefits of being in relationship with God through Jesus. Because when you come into this relationship, everything that quite frankly maybe was due you, the bill that was coming due for you, gets paid by another. So therefore, the wrong that maybe rightfully should have come against you, because how you went off on that person at the job the other day. Lord, I didn't mean it, but they got on my nerves. Come on now. You know, somebody know what I'm talking about. Maybe the wrong that maybe should have come from that. God says here, yeah, but when you're in Jesus, he says, there's no judging guilty of you. As a matter of fact, the wrath and punishment that should have come on, you know, all of us, Jesus took it and bore it. So this is, you know, one of the most magnificent reasons that you should always be in this relationship with Jesus. Because he, watch this, has borne the punishment for all of us. And as a result, it allows God, listen, it allows your Heavenly Father to look at you as if there is no fault in you. Now listen, here's why I want to make sure you understand. If that's how God looks at you, then how is it you have to look at yourself? How is it do you have to look at yourself? Look at yourself from the standpoint, God finds no fault in me. Listen, when we live a life that is true to God, true to others, and true to ourselves, it's going to put us in the best position to make the best choices to have the best future. Please lift up your hands with me right there where you are, at home as well. Come on, just lift up two hands. Father, help us now in this moment, in this season, to once again just embrace the realities of what you've done for us, who you've made us be, praise God. We know who we are because of what you've done for us, sir. You laid everything down. You bore the punishment for our sins, so that now you could relate to us as if sin never even existed. So we thank you for that, sir. Help us, sir, now to live in that place. Again, where we are true to you, we're true to others, and we're true to ourselves. So that we can be just like what we hear the Apostle Paul expressing by the Spirit of God. Living a life that is void of offense. Living a life with a clear conscience. So that we are making decisions that honor you, and that we are creating the future that you have destined for us. We love you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. If you agree, would you say amen? Come on, come on. If you really agree, say amen. Amen. Amen, praise God. Now do this for me right there wherever you may be, at home still. Just go ahead. Keep your heads bowed. Keep your heads bowed, eyes closed. At home, here in the auditorium. Listen. Maybe you've heard about Jesus for years, or maybe you haven't. Maybe you've gone to church, you know, regularly, and maybe you haven't. Maybe it's a case where you just really don't know where you stand with Jesus, or maybe you do. But here's what I want you to understand, that God absolutely loves you, and he's desiring to have a relationship with you. So if you've never really made a decision that you can hang your hat on to say, yeah, I surrendered all to God, I want to pray for you and I want to pray with you. Just that one invitation today. You want to come to a place where you get to know God like God knows you. And you can embrace the revelation of his amazing love. Let me pray for you. Let me pray with you. Yeah, yeah. That's you. That's you. The one God wants to be in relationship with. So here's what I want to ask. Everyone, wherever you may be, here in the auditorium or at home with your heads bowed, eyes closed, if you desire my prayers for that invitation right there, would you just let me know by just lifting up one hand under heaven? Say, I choose Jesus. Go ahead, just lift it up high so I know to include you. You say, well, I'm at home, you can't see me. Yeah, yeah, but your good Father can. So you go ahead and lift yours up too. You can lift yours up too, and you can let us know, you know, later that, yeah, yeah, I've made that decision, so we know how to pray for you and with you. God loves you. And this is going to be a season where a million little choices that you and I make are going to accumulate to a place of great glory for Almighty God. Yeah. So, Father, now I thank you for those who have made a decision to step towards you. Thank you, Father, for strengthening them right there where they are. That this is just not a spiritual, you know, moment, Father, but this is a response to you that they are making today to just simply surrender all. I thank you for that, and I give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Listen, this is what I want to ask that you do here in the auditorium or right there, you know, online as well. Say this out loud with me. Come on, everyone. Everyone say this out loud with me. Father God, I surrender all. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your love. Thank you for making me your own. Amen. That's a good place to rejoice right there. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God forever and ever and ever. Now listen, if you pray that prayer, and you raised your hand, you know, earlier, then I want to encourage you, I want to applaud you, and I want to let you know there's a couple of things that we have available for you, one thing in particular. And it's called, it's a little booklet, it's a 7-day devotional called A Fresh Start. So if you're here in the auditorium as you're exiting, just ask, you know, one of our leaders, they'll be glad to put one into your hands. If you are there, you know, online and you would like to have one of those, we can make it available to you electronically, but I need you to do something for me. I need for you to text the word DECIDED to 954-280-2076. When you do that, they'll send you the link, you know, for the booklet. Go ahead and get started on it right away. Also, be sure to let us know the decision that you've made today so that we can just rejoice with you, that we can be praying for you, and we can help you to see God's best for your life. These are a million little choices that we're making, and this is the number one choice right here of making Jesus Lord of our lives. Come on, say it with me again. I surrender all. Thank you, Lord God, for your faithfulness unto us. Help us now to continue to grow deeper in you. In Jesus' name, amen.